You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Happy Monday, Aaron Hawksworth, Joe Ostrowski with you. And I am excited for today's show. Of course, we're going to talk Final Four. Got some BetQL court action. MLB awards. I can't believe opening day is this week. And then NFL win totals are out, people. Never too early to talk NFL, if you ask me. I cannot wait for a Survivor update, Joe, later in the show. And of course, he joins us every Monday, Mike Rutherford of CardChronicle.com. But you just heard it, people. Pretty, you know, sweet brag here, but pretty good weekend for the show, I must say.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't miss those first 3 days of the week number two. Well, Paul nailed it, and he was speaking for himself when he stated late last week that historically he's a week two guy. And as the weekend was unfolding, I'm like, whoa, maybe we're just a week two show in general, because I felt like we were just hitting everything. And then I'll get into what was going on yesterday, but yesterday I didn't really have a feel for it, and I had a lot going on. I'm like, I didn't really have an opinion on those two games, so I didn't want to put it out there. Some people are getting mad at me on Twitter because the show's been on fire, and we didn't put any Sunday picks out there. I'm like, sorry, I got nothing for you right now. And I'm glad, because guess what? If I forced something, I probably would have been wrong on both games yesterday.
You know, and I think that's a great point. Sometimes when you are on a heater and you had a great couple days, I personally, I need to know when to take a step back. And I think that's just it. If you're trying to force it, if you don't have a strong opinion, or you just feel like I have to have a play here, what should I do? Even though I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other, then that's when things can start to unravel. And then it's like that bankroll you just built up can dissolve real quickly, you know, and put you in a bad mood. So I love that advice from you. But just exciting. Men's Final Four is set. So Miami rallied from 13 down to upset Texas 88-81. Rodney Terry tearing up after. I'm sure we'll touch on that. He loves his squad. I hope he gets the job. So the Owls advance to their first Final Four in school history, and it'll be tough against UConn on Saturday. Meanwhile, San Diego State beat Creighton to advance to their first Final Four. They will face FAU. Of course, we had that controversial foul call. I didn't really think it was that big of a deal, did you?
Oh, it's a big deal.
The foul call?
It's a big deal, I probably disagree with a lot of people on it. It decided the game. It was, do you call that or do you not? And based on the way that the entire game was called, and is it a foul? It put the guy in the free throw line and won the game. So it is certainly a big deal. They go to the post game show and they're talking about that the final inbounds play. I'm like, no, that is not the biggest play of the game. Talk about the most controversial moment. Talk about that foul or non-foul call. Yeah. And I think it's a fascinating conversation. And it was a foul. And I think you've got to blow the whistle there. I mean, I am a by-the-book guy. Like, it does. You don't change the rules. You don't change it up because it's going to decide the game. If you fouled, you fouled. Now, the other side of the conversation, I totally get it. When people say, well, you were letting them play. You weren't calling that all game. So, I mean, that comes into play a little bit. But bottom line to me, I'm just looking at that one play and saying, that was a foul. That was a foul. He beat the defender. The defender, Nemhard, was grabbing him. And, I mean,
on the hip, you could see his hand if you freeze.
Pulling the jersey.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's a foul.
I was going to wait for BetQL Court. I was going to wait till BetQL Court. But,
well, no, I mean, this is the biggest. We can hit it multiple times. I mean, this is the biggest story of the day.
I think my original tweet was like, oh, can't call it in that spot, which I don't really subscribe. It depends. Like, I see why that's kind of a garbage argument. If it's a foul, it's a foul. But you let them play all game. What happened? Ryan Nemhard didn't have a left wrist for the last 10 minutes of the game because he got hacked the hell out of, and he missed a key layup in the last couple minutes because he couldn't play on a foul that wasn't called. That changed the entire game. That changed their entire offense. And you can't just come back. And again, I do think the fact that it was a tie game matters. I do think that matters because, like, if San Diego State is down by one, I think you have to take that into account. Like, the game is going to overtime if you don't call it, and you let the players decide it with five more minutes on the court. I think it's different. Like, the Super Bowl comparison, you miss me with that. You're talking about a sport where people tackle each other every play. Like, get out of here with that. I think it was Cahill.
But the whistle,
that, which I was not in the mood for at the time.
The whistle was blown before. I'm trying to remember. The whistle was blown before you knew that he was going to miss that shot, though, right? Before he had no chance at that shot.
It was kind of late. Like, I'm not saying the ref knew, but, I mean, the ball was – I thought it was pretty clear it was missed, and then the arm goes up. But
it was short.
I haven't looked at it frame by frame. I'm sure the ref did not wait for the result of the shot. It's just – I think you got to swallow the whistle there. I think all things involved, you do have to take situation into account, but more so – you called 22 fouls the entire game. Like, Kalkbrenner was getting murdered down low.
With San Diego State. I mean, they're playing football out there.
Yeah. Right. You want to talk about a Super Bowl? That's the football team out there. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Like, you just can't change the way you're calling the game. That's the bigger point.
How much of this has to do with the Creighton future? I mean, I had a Creighton future.
Much of it. Yeah, I had Final Four futures and a title future. But I will say... If you do want to make that Super Bowl comparison, I said at the time that was a bad call, and I was on the Chiefs. So I feel like I try and see these things pretty down the middle. Of course, the Creighton future is biasing me a certain way. I do think if I was back in San Diego State, I'd be, oh, man, it sucks the game ends that way, one way or another. Well, I don't think I'd be like, oh, yeah, they should have called it. I don't think I'd be as zealous for calling that foul.
Because so much of the focus of Sunday's games was on that single whistle to end the game, here's what I think is a bigger problem than just that should it be a call, should it not be a call. The bigger problem was that was the theme all weekend. Think back to Saturday. That was the theme. Now, I know we all believe UConn was going to win, and, hey, that's our pick. We're rolling with them. We feel great about them. And, you know, obviously this ties in the entire weekend. With the foul trouble. When Timmy sat, ball game. Because of why? Foul trouble. Is it a K-State different situation if Keontae's on the floor? If he doesn't get into foul trouble. It was every game. And that's what I think is worse than what occurred yesterday where you're letting him play and then you decide at the very end not to, even though it was a foul, and then you're kind of changing up. I thought that was a bigger problem than anything, that fouls, the refs and the fouls, how you're calling the games, it was a big part of every single game with star players.
And a lack of consistency, how you're calling the fouls, when you're calling the fouls, and then, oh, we're going to call this late. I mean, if you are a SDSU backer, I agree. Like, do you really feel that great about moving on? And that's how the game was decided, you know? And I can understand both sides.
They feel great.
There needs to be more. There needs to be more consistency. Like, we're going to let them play or, you know, it's like nobody knows what they're calling and when and how they make those decisions. I think that's what is the frustrating thing.
I think I convinced myself after Thursday and Friday, I thought the refereeing was much better than last weekend. So I was like, all right, evened out. Like, was also on the wrong side of a few, like the Memphis jump ball against FAU, West Virginia, a bunch of calls went against them the first weekend. Like, there was a lot that I at least exactly remembered going against me the first weekend. And so I felt that things were better Thursday, Friday. But you're right, with them putting Kansas State into foul trouble, Timmy into foul trouble. And yesterday, it's just been kind of a mess. And I don't know what the answer is. I think we're going to have the same conversation every year. Like, it's just never going to change. I mean, it's subjective humans. I'd rather they let them play to a certain point, but then let them play. Like, that's the best way for – but you got to – while keeping control of the game. I mean, it's a fine line. I think you could tell Gene Steratore was going to say he would not have called that foul without actually saying that.
Oh, you thought so?
And you know what? Yeah. The last play, the last 7 seconds, you do have to take that into account because that was a total cluster at the end too. Like, so you've got a stopwatch out now and you're changing a call again. They basically took a cop-out. You know, at the end of the game, we don't want to say that went off San Diego State or Creighton or overturn it. Like, just
– yeah.
The whole thing was a mess at the end.
And I hate that's kind of – look at the first 10 minutes of the show. That's what we're talking about because it needs to be talked about. Because it was big.
Yeah.
But the real thing here is we got a 4, a 5, and a 9 in the final four. I mean, this is made for us. This is a value that we're hunting for all year. Guys, the theme of the college basketball season was anybody can win it. This is wide open. And we say that every year, and we aren't always right. Last year, we know that North Carolina, you know, they weren't expected throughout the regular season to make it, but then they were the hot team at the end, so they were the big seed that made it. But we were right. This thing was so wide open. Anybody could win it, and we're sitting here again. 4 should not have been a 4. But that's the other part. I don't think we hammered the committee too much because they got the right teams in it, but the seeding was terrible. Wow, that's what people are not going to talk about this week. Oh my God, we got a 9, we got a 5, we got a 5. UConn should not have been.
We talked about it last week.
Jordan Mannix should not have been a 9. Right.
And in KenPom, UConn was ranked so much higher than their seeding as well.
Right. Right. I didn't understand that at all. San Diego State, 5. I guess it was somewhat fair because of the history of the conference, but in that Mountain West conversation about how terrible it was, it was the caveat, well, San Diego State's really good, and they've proven how good they are. Bad beat there, Paul. Under 3.5 went, was it under 3.5, right? For Mountain West.
So, I mean, it was under 3 at plus 120. So, I mean, it best was case was a push after the Bama game, but...
San Diego State
another
did it.
Loss.
They did it all. Every Mountain West win, San Diego State. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I mean, if you tell me that before the tournament, which we thought was going to happen, I'm taking that bet every time.
We said it the day they won, that you had to feel good about the bet because the only way you lose is if San Diego State gets to the Final Four. Ha, ha, ha. That ain't happening.
Yeah. Mountain West is back.
Yeah, right, because of one team.
Right now, you've got UConn minus 125 to win it all at BetMGM, followed by SDSU plus 360, Miami 5-1, and FAU 6-1. Of course, we're all, well, maybe I should keep my mouth shut. I do have a history of mushing things, so. I don't want to get
UConn.
Yeah.
5.5-point favorite. I kind of wish Miami was on the other side, where maybe we can get a Miami-UConn title game, but I'm fine with it. It's amazing. San Diego State or Florida Atlantic are going to be in the championship game. That still has not set in yet for me. If Florida Atlantic or San Diego State are going to be in the title game. I mean, again, for bettors, this is why you take shots on big numbers in college basketball, because of the format. Because it is one game and anything can happen with ref college players, with some teenagers out there, the referees that we see out there. It's wild. It's wild. And the numbers, I mean, we're talking about triple digits for one of them. And it for the first time in the seeding era, Evan Abrams put out there that we have 3 of 4 teams in the Final Four that were 50-1 at the start of the tournament. 3 of the 4 are 50-1. And here we are.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Gosh, I mean, I just quickly, it's going to be hard for Jordan Miller to have that another perfect performance like he did for Miami playing UConn this weekend. I personally would like to see a UConn-San Diego State final. I just think that would be a fun physical game. But since I have a UConn future, I might prefer FAU.
That's a good one.
We'll get into it.
Yeah.
They both will be. We're in a good position either way. I'm looking forward to it. This is BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM. Up next, we take a look at the Final Four spreads and totals right here on the BetQL Network.